You're listening to Baino Leakage, episode 82, Out and About. All right, move way past Memorial Day and past the official start of summer and past July for this episode. This episode covers all sorts of topics, including FBI overreach and gay lead singers. So, yeah. So there you go. And with that, let's start the news. FBI paid Geek Squad employee to find child porn on customers' computers. Yep. So it appears, according to the reports, that a Geek Squad employee by the name of Justin Mead was contacted and contracted by the FBI without a warrant to search customers' computers, especially one such customer, for child pornography. A verified payment of $500 was paid to this Geek Squad employee from the FBI. Granted, Best Buy, who owns Geek Squad, has a policy that if child porn is found on customer computers, they must report it. But it seems this case was one that was not just child porn found. The FBI allegedly had used this Geek Squad employee from 2009 to 2012 in looking for child porn. Both the FBI and Geek Squad employee Justin Mead deny there were any orders. Sure there weren't. Oh, yeah. Also, Best Buy policy forbids any payments from law enforcement. Oh, okay. So where does the miscellaneous $500 come into question here? Oh, yeah. Well, I'd like to see the child porn eradicated. Agencies like the FBI still have to follow the law and the rules here. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, authority or law enforcement, like FBI or cops or whatever, think they have carte blanche, and they still got to follow the rules. You know, child porn's bad. It doesn't mean it's acceptable. It means that you have to follow the rules. You can't just contract some Geek Squad guy and help him dig through every computer that comes in for child porn. So, yep, got to follow the rules. The elderly, poor, and black are having trouble getting photo IDs to vote. So reading about these disenfranchised voters to prevent what minuscule fraud that it found. So recent reports that I've looked up and everything and various research, or extensive research, I should say, show that out of 1 billion votes cast, only 31 verified cases of voter fraud were found. Yeah. So, hey, we got to step on this. Those 31 people, they could throw an election. No, they can't. It saddens me to see that it's mostly blacks and the elderly and the poor that are being denied the right to vote due to the difficulty it is to get a current ID. So a lot of times, for those who are 65 and older due to the place they were born and poor care of record keeping, there's some that have had issues with their name, their last name, which is sometimes different on their birth certificate than what's on their driver's license. The article linked to in the show notes on this talks about this 65-year-old gentleman who had a name discrepancy, and he lives in Texas, and they were not having anything to do with, you know, he brought in all these records were wrong, and they wouldn't give him an ID, you know. So, you know, it's just odd to see how much effort that these people have for voter ID, you know. You know, what their purposes are, you know, and it's obvious what the majority of the purposes are. You know, voter fraud is such a minimal thing that happens, you know, and, you know, there's attorneys get involved. Like this guy, you know, attorney donated his time pro bono to help him get his current ID so that he could vote and get past all the red tape and government restrictions that these voter ID laws have created. So a lot of times there is significant cost and time involved to get to the place where you need all the right papers to get a renewed ID. There have been several voter ID law challenges in many states, with some success in rolling back the law. Most conservatives think this is a black or racist push to get rid of voter ID laws. I like to call it voter disenfranchisement, and looking at where these people live, there's an obvious race concern. So conservatives can make cases for needing an ID to vote. You know, so one popular thing that's going around on social media right now, they show all these list of things that you need an ID for, you know, own a gun, drive a car, you know, write a check, use a credit card, you know, get on an airplane, you know, and then what people are complaining about is like, we don't need voter ID laws. Let me tell you, I'm not against voter ID. I'm not against showing your ID to vote, okay? What I'm against is all the restrictions that these voter ID laws have made to make it impossible for anyone to get an updated ID to vote. You know, it's all, I'm all good with that, you know, and I don't think these people are against getting an updated ID. Let's make it easier. Stop making it so hard. Stop putting all these restrictions and using the clerical error, you know, oh, well, the name had an E at the end of it or something, and so we can't issue that there's a difference. Seriously, they look for the smallest, most intimate, insignificant reason to deny people to get a registered ID. So, you know, and these people, like I said, mostly old, elderly, a lot of blacks, you know, there's, you know, various, all sorts of races and ages and everything like that that fall under this voter ID thing, you know. You know, I'm 53. I can go get an updated ID if mine expires, you know. So I don't know the struggles that these people have to go through, but they just want to vote, you know. But there's people that don't want them to vote, and so, you know, they put these laws into place so that, you know, those who have had their IDs expire, like elderly people, you know, they just don't have the time or means to go get stuff. They quit driving years ago, you know. So it's, you know, let's see these changes happen. Outrage of transgender use of bathrooms echoes racial segregation. So the biggest fear for those that are not accepting of anyone transgender is that they are sexual predators waiting to attack and molest mostly women, you know. So the concerns about people's wives and daughters is brought up all the time when laws like those in North Carolina and other states have been enacted to keep perverts and like the conservatives label most transgendered people out of women's bathrooms. Ted Cruz, or as I like to call him, Cruz Control, has instigated a lot of the fear by his lack of understanding or wanting to understand the transgendered. But the worst part of these laws and pushes that encourage attacks on transgenders are white males. They're the ones drafting all these crazy laws up. You know, they're turning this from a respecting gender selection to a racist issue. The white protecting their white wives and daughters. The methods that are being used to push these laws onto the books are disgusting and vile. The nerve that some are still waving that racist flag puzzles me on many levels. They are taking a page right out of the segregation of whites and blacks back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s when they had separate bathrooms and restrooms and they're pushing to exclude transgendered people from the public just like they did back in the day with blacks. You know, I guess using one's wife and daughters as political pawns to support their segregation, you know, proves that they just won't let racism die. So sad. You know, it's such a stupid thing that these people are doing with the, you know, trying to block, you know, transgender people from using. It's just, who cares? You know, just get over yourselves. Put your racist thoughts behind and start treating people like with dignity and like the human beings that are part of our society. This week's rant. LDS Church just doesn't want to show any support to gay people. Yeah, it's a pretty bold statement, but I think it's true. So November 2015, the LDS Church, officially known as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, issued a new policy that treats legally married same-sex couples as apostates and barring their children from participating in any church rites such as baptism or being ordained to the Aaronic priesthood until they reach the age of 18. These children must also renounce their parents' participation in a gay relationship, legal as it may be, in support of the church's new policy. So this smacks as a family dividing wedge that pits the children against their parents, showing total allegiance and support to the LDS Church. The idea that a church based on family and love can exclude any member who is in a legal marriage and on top of that treat their children with a level of exclusion makes me angry, It also makes me glad that I left this church 20 years ago, but you know, I'm still counted as a member on their official records, even though I drafted up a take me off your, you know, roll letter some, you know, back in like, I think 16 years ago. I never sent it. I thought about it, you know, shit like this happens. I think about it more often, but, you know, it's not a lot of effort, you know, I mean, but, you know, but it takes a long time. So I'll go into that another episode, the whole thing. So, but it's like they're doubling down on the exclusion here with the with this new rule or law or revelation, as they want to call it. As we all know, LDS Church spent a lot of money and effort to pass Proposition 8 in California back, you know, that's, God, that's been 8 years now, which eventually was overturned. So this new policy is nothing new. It's just surprising after efforts to work with the Utah laws to protect LGBT workers and renters against discrimination. So that was the legislation's thing that they did last year. You know, it was awesome to see that. You know, the church worked with people and, you know, they worked with, you know, Equality Utah and, you know, all the, you know, all the various groups and stuff that wanted to see protections. So then this, you know, like a big slap in the face. So, you know, I doubt the church cares about the backlash from all this and will just resolve itself to let those who abhor this policy to leave the church. Then its members that believe without question will remain steadfast to this new rule, excluding those who are now labeled apostates. This is pretty shameful. You know, I'm not going to hide behind the fact that this is one of the more shameful things that the LDS Church has done. And as my shameless plug will cover, you know, well known people that are Mormon or grew up Mormon are speaking out, and they're being very vocal, as they should be. Church's not going to change the policy. They're set, you know. My recommendation, and I usually don't push people to leave, but, you know, if this bothers you, you should leave the church, you know. I'm sorry if that offends some of my Mormon listeners, but, hey, if a church doesn't support your family because of some legal decision that happened in this country, by all means, you're not a part of it anymore. This week's shameless plug, Tyler Glenn expresses his angst against the LDS Church. The lead singer of the pop band Neon Trees has had it with the LDS Church and their policy change regarding those who are Mormon and gay. As my rant talked about above, Tyler's final levels of support are now gone. So based on that decision that happened in November of 2015, Tyler just said, you know what? This is just ridiculous. So, you know, so he's one of the more outspoken, popular people who grew up Mormon, and he actually tried to be a good supporter of this, but, you know, they've just pretty much laid down the line, and, you know, I really think that they were hoping that to divide people with this, you know. I know that sounds awkward, and it sounds not fair, but seriously, you know. You know, someone, you know, and so, you know, Tyler's, you know, Tybalt, like I said, Tyler's level of support, you know, pretty much gone. And in their place now, he's replaced his support with angst, anger, and rebuttals to the years of support he tried to give to the church. His response is a video called Trash, which is effectively his solo debut. So he's still with Neon Trees. The band's not breaking up. They're just taking a break for now. So Tyler's still writing music, and this is one of his songs that he's written. It's pretty. If you're a Mormon, you know, strict Mormon believing, non-questioning Mormon, you really might not want to watch the video. He takes Mormon figures like Joseph Smith and you know, doesn't treat them in a positive light. So I'll just say that if you you know, want to go watch it, you know, but if you're Mormon and don't need any explanation, then don't watch it. You know, just continue to go to church on Sunday and accept everything the church says. So now it sounds like I'm angry. So Tyler's focus is on his anger of how the church he grew up in treats the gay members with disrespect. Like I said, in this video, the images of Joseph Smith and his altered face are Tyler's way of expressing his disgust with this new policy change in the LDS Church. So I support Tyler's anger and how he's chosen to express himself. Perhaps this is how others should express themselves as well. You know, if you're a musician, write a song. If you're a writer, you should, you know, write a story. If you're a journalist, cover this, you know. You know, and so anyway, I support him every step of the way. Just be yourself. Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.